The tension started as a small shift in the room. People noticed it when assignments were handed out. Daniel called Mia's name every time, and the pattern hardened week after week. No one spoke up at first. They watched, they counted, they tried to work around the imbalance, but it followed them into every meeting and every deadline. It became the quiet weight in the room. By the time the new project rolled out, the team already knew how it would end. Daniel didn't ask for volunteers. He didn't look at anyone else. He handed the opportunity to Mia with the kind of confidence that said this was normal. This was expected. Carla and Devon exchanged a look. They had proof sitting in their inboxes and notes that matched what everyone felt. What they didn't know was how deep the issue ran, or how much resistance they would hit once they pushed it forward. The break was coming. They could feel it. The team filed into the 10th floor conference room just before the morning meeting. The air always felt heavy in that space. The windows barely opened, and the sound of traffic rose from the street below. Carla took her usual seat near the middle and adjusted her laptop. Devon sat across from her, quiet, eyes steady on the doorway. They already knew how this meeting would go. The pattern had been clear for months. Daniel walked in with a stack of folders tucked under his arm. He didn't say much. He rarely did. He greeted Mia with a nod and a small smile. She straightened up, ready before the meeting even started. Everyone else sat waiting for their turn to matter. The folders held the new quarterly assignments, and each person hoped for a chance at something that would move their careers forward. But hope had become a thin currency in this room. Daniel started reading names, minor tasks, basic follow-ups, routine maintenance. He called them out without looking up. Carla received two items that barely filled half a workday. Devon got one small audit. Several team members didn't get anything at all. Then Daniel paused, tapped the folder, and said the line everyone expected. Mia will take the lead on the expansion project. It was the biggest task of the quarter. It came with exposure to senior leadership and built a path toward promotion. Mia nodded as if she had prepared for this moment. The others tried to stay focused, but the shift in the room tightened. Carla felt it. Devon felt it. They had started tracking these moments weeks ago, and each one lined up with the last. Daniel continued the meeting as if nothing unusual had happened. The team broke for their desks. Conversations started in low voices. People didn't want to complain openly. They didn't trust the system enough for that. Still, the frustration slipped out between the lines. "You see that again?" one analyst whispered near the copier. "Same story, different day," another said. Carla returned to her desk and opened her notebook. She wrote down the date, the assignment, and the distribution of tasks. The numbers didn't lie. Daniel had given Mia 7 high-level projects in the last 2 months. The rest of the team shared 4 among them. It wasn't balanced. It wasn't even close. Devon approached her desk with his laptop in hand. He kept his voice low. "You recording it?" "Yes." She kept writing, "It's getting worse." He pulled up an email thread. "Look at this. The training session last week. He only approved her request. Everyone else got pushed to the next quarter." Carla leaned in. The denial messages for the others were identical, short, vague capacity limits. Mia's approval came with a note praising her initiative. They sat back in silence for a moment. Neither wanted to be the one to say it, but it hung there between them. "It's favoritism," Devon finally said. Carla nodded. She already knew. The problem wasn't spotting it. The problem was proving it in a place that preferred clean reports and quiet teams. Later that afternoon, the team gathered again for a quick huddle. Daniel reviewed the upcoming deadlines. Every time the expansion project came up, he directed his attention only to Mia. He asked for her timelines. He asked for her needs. He didn't check with anyone else. It was as if the rest of the team were extras in a story built around her career. During a pause, Carla raised a question about the workload split. Daniel barely acknowledged her. He answered in a tone that suggested she had missed something already decided. She hadn't. There had been no discussion. There rarely was. After the meeting, Devon caught up with her near the elevator. "You saw that, right?" "I saw everything," she said. They rode down in silence. The doors opened to the lobby, and the crowd pushed out onto the street. Carla stopped near the bench outside the building. "We need to be sure before we do anything," she said. If we take this forward and we're wrong, it will backfire. And if we're right and we stay quiet, it gets worse, Devon said. The weight of that truth settled in. The team had reached a point where staying silent felt like surrender. The imbalance was affecting productivity. Deadlines that should have been shared landed on one person's plate. That person wasn't the one Daniel favored. By the end of the week, the pressure in the room had changed again. People talked less. Meetings dragged longer. Every new assignment confirmed the same pattern. Carla kept adding notes. She marked timestamps and copied email headers. She asked others if they had similar records. Most did. They handed them over quietly. On Friday morning, Daniel called another meeting. The team sat around the table, waiting. He announced the early prep for next quarter. Before he explained the tasks, he turned to Mia. "You'll oversee the transition plan," he said. No one reacted openly, but the silence sharpened. Devon exhaled slowly. Carla wrote the moment down without breaking eye contact with Daniel. He never noticed. His focus stayed locked on the one person he always chose. The meeting ended with little discussion. People grabbed their things quickly. Devon approached Carla again. "That's it," he said. "We have enough to show a pattern." "Maybe," she said. "We still need more detail, and we need to be careful." "You think HR will actually listen?" "I don't know," she said, "but we can't pretend this is normal anymore." She walked back to her desk and opened her notebook. The page was full. Dates, tasks, messages, each one aligned with the last. The story was already forming. They just had to decide how far they were willing to push it. Carla closed the book. The next step wasn't clear, but the tension in the room made one thing certain. The break was coming. The office felt colder on Monday, though the thermostat hadn't changed. Carla walked in early, hoping to catch a quiet moment before the day pulled her under. Instead, she found Devon already at his desk, scrolling through project logs with a tight expression. He turned the screen toward her without saying a word. The numbers told their own story. Mia had been assigned another high-priority task over the weekend. The request had come directly from Daniel at 7:19 p.m. on Sunday night. No one else had been informed. No team distribution, no shared planning, just another decision made in the same closed loop. Carla sat down. He didn't even wait for the week to start. "No," Devon said, "and look at the timestamp. He flagged it as urgent." She studied the message. The urgency didn't match the task itself. It was important, but not urgent enough for a late-night directive. The pattern wasn't subtle anymore. It was bold, unashamed, and documented in writing. By mid-morning, the team gathered for the weekly huddle. Daniel outlined deadlines and shifted smaller tasks around. When the big items came up, his focus locked on Mia again. He spoke to her as if no one else knew how to manage a project. The team listened. Some nodded. Most said nothing. When the meeting ended, one of the analysts from finance lingered near Carla. She lowered her voice. "You all are dealing with this too." Carla frowned. "What do you mean?" "He did the same thing on his last team," the analyst said. "Different employee, same pattern, same problems." Carla's chest tightened. "Are you sure?" "I sat across from him for a year," the analyst said. "People complained, nothing changed. Good luck." She walked away before Carla could ask more. The information shifted everything. This wasn't a new issue. It was a cycle. Carla found Devon near the printer. She pulled him to the side and repeated what she'd learned. His jaw clenched, and he let out a slow breath. "So it wasn't in our heads," he said. "He's done this before." "It makes documenting this even more important," Carla said. "If this is a pattern across teams, it won't fix itself." They returned to their desks. Carla opened a shared folder and began collecting every piece of evidence they had. Email chains, project logs, approval records, meeting summaries. She checked timestamps, cross-referenced dates, and highlighted patterns. Devon added files as he found them. They built the case quietly, methodically, without drawing attention. By Wednesday, they had enough evidence to fill several pages. The imbalance wasn't subtle. It was consistent. High-value tasks flowed to one employee. Training approvals flowed to one employee. Praise flowed to one employee. Everyone else was left to fill the gaps and justify their presence. That afternoon, Carla drafted a message to HR. She kept it direct. She attached the evidence without speculation. She described the impact on workload, morale, and performance. She reread it several times before hitting send. Once she did, the weight settled in her chest. The step was irreversible. Devon looked over. You sent it? Yes. Her voice was steady, but her hands felt cold. We'll see what happens. They didn't wait long. HR replied within 2 hours. The message was polished and polite. It thanked Carla for her feedback and assured her that the issue appeared to be a team communication misunderstanding. The phrasing felt rehearsed, almost mechanical. There was no request for interviews, no follow-up questions, no acknowledgement of the detailed evidence. Devon read the message from over her shoulder. That's it? They dismissed everything without even talking to us? Carla closed the email slowly. It looks that way. The dismissal hit harder than she expected. She had hoped HR would see what they saw. Instead, the system closed ranks. The imbalance wasn't just a team problem. It was institutional. The next day at work felt different. Not louder. Not angrier. Just heavier. The team heard nothing from HR. Daniel carried on as if the message had never been sent. He continued assigning tasks in the same pattern. He met with Mia behind closed doors twice that day. When they emerged, both looked satisfied, as if decisions had already been made. After the second meeting, Devon caught Carla in the break room. What now? He asked. She didn't answer right away. She poured water into a cup and watched the surface settle. We keep documenting, she said. If the first report didn't make them look twice, the next one will need more weight. You think they'll listen the second time? I don't know, she said, but we don't stop because they're comfortable. By the end of the week, the strain showed in the team's numbers. Deadlines slipped, collaboration stalled, people stopped volunteering ideas in meetings. The work environment had shifted from tense to brittle. One sharp moment could crack it. On Friday morning, Daniel held another meeting. The team filed into the conference room with little energy. When Daniel started outlining the next steps for the expansion project, he didn't look at anyone except Mia. Again, every question, every decision, every follow-up. Partway through the meeting, Devon leaned close to Carla. He's not even trying to hide it anymore. Why would he? Carla said. No one above him has stopped him. After the meeting, she sat at her desk and opened the HR thread. She reread the dismissive message. The words felt even more hollow than before. Devon watched her from across the aisle. You're thinking about sending another report. Yes, she said, but not yet. We need something stronger, something they can't dismiss as miscommunication. What though? Independent impact, she said. Something measurable, something that shows this isn't just about feelings, it's affecting the team's performance. They spent the afternoon gathering team metrics, productivity charts, task completion rates, deadline slippage. All of it pointed in one direction. The team had been collapsing under uneven workload distribution, not because they lacked skill, because they lacked opportunity. Carla clicked through the charts slowly. The numbers told the truth clearly. She looked at Devon. This is the midpoint, she said. This is where everything shifts. He nodded. Then we keep going. Carla saved the files. She didn't send them yet. She needed to understand the full picture before making their next move. But the tension in the office told her time was running out. The imbalance was not just unfair. It was unsustainable. And the system built to address it had already shown its willingness to look away. The following week opened with an unusual message. Carla saw it as soon as she logged in, a meeting request from a senior director, not HR, not Daniel, someone above both of them. The subject line read, Quarterly Performance Review Discussion. It didn't mention favoritism or workload imbalance, but the timing wasn't a coincidence. Devon arrived a few minutes later. Carla pointed at her screen. He leaned in, eyes narrowing. He reached out to you directly? Looks like it. Did you send anything else after the first report? No, she shook her head. Not a word. That meant the director had noticed something on his own. Something measurable. Something the team's numbers made impossible to ignore. She accepted the meeting. It was scheduled for the next morning. The rest of the day moved slowly. Daniel held two meetings with Mia behind closed doors. The team saw the door shut, saw the shadows shifting behind the frosted glass, saw the way Mia walked out with confidence every time. People didn't speak their frustration out loud anymore. They didn't need to. It lived in the room like a second atmosphere. By the end of the day, Carla gathered her notes. She chose only what matched the outline of her original report. patterns, logs, task distribution. She didn't plan to speculate. She didn't need to. The data would speak for her. The following morning, she walked into the senior director's office. He gestured for her to sit. His tone was calm, but direct. "I've been reviewing performance gaps across departments," he said. "Your team stands out, not for the right reasons." Carla stayed steady. "Yes, we've been dealing with imbalance." He nodded. "Your report reached HR, but they categorized it as miscommunication. I reviewed the numbers myself. They don't match that conclusion." He pulled up a dashboard on his screen. Charts, deadlines, task history, everything Carla and Devin had seen, but with more weight behind it now. "This level of skewed assignment distribution affects output," he said. "It also exposes the company to risk." Carla waited. She wasn't sure if she should speak yet. The director continued, "I will need to speak with the rest of the team, quietly, individually." She exhaled slowly. It was the first sign of real movement. He dismissed her with a nod. "Thank you for your clarity. I'll follow up soon." When she returned to the floor, Devin was waiting. "Well," he asked. "He's taking it seriously," she said. "He's starting interviews." Devin let out a breath. "Finally." The interviews began the next day. One by one, team members were called upstairs. No group discussions, no leading questions. The director asked about tasks, workloads, patterns, and history. People answered honestly. No one exaggerated, no one softened the truth. By the end of the week, the director requested a joint meeting. Carla walked into the conference room and found Daniel already there. He sat stiffly, eyes forward, hands clasped. Mia wasn't present. This wasn't about her. This was about the system around her. Devin joined them. Others from the team filed in, uncertain but hopeful. The senior director entered last. He placed a folder on the table and stayed standing. "I have reviewed your team's performance structure," he said. "I've examined task delegation logs, training approvals, and project ownership." He paused. "The distribution has not been equitable." Daniel shifted in his seat. "If there were concerns, I would have addressed them. My intention has always been to assign based on capability." The director opened the folder. "Your statements don't align with the timestamps." He slid several pages forward. Assignment histories, approval records, repeated patterns that contradicted Daniel's explanation. The silence in the room deepened. Daniel tried again. "Some team members weren't ready for larger tasks." The director shook his head. "Your evaluations don't support that claim. In fact, several records indicate they were performing above expectations, yet the opportunities continued to flow in one direction." A sharp tension cut through the room. Carla watched Daniel's expression shift. Not to remorse, to calculation. He was searching for a way out, but the data closed each door before he could reach it. The director straightened. "Based on these findings, you will be removed from this team temporarily. A performance review and retraining plan will follow." Daniel didn't argue. He couldn't. The evidence left no room for debate. The decision landed hard, but the room felt lighter for the first time in months. When the meeting ended, the team stayed seated for a moment. People looked around, unsure how to react. Devin broke the silence. "It's over," he said, "at least for now." Carla wasn't ready to agree. "The pattern stops here, but the impact doesn't end just because he's gone." She was right. The aftermath unfolded slowly over the next few weeks. The team restructured its workflow. Assignments were shared through a transparent rotation. Training approvals were logged publicly with reasons attached. For the first time, people felt the system shift toward fairness. Mia took longer to adjust. She wasn't at fault for receiving opportunities, but she had benefited from a structure built around someone else's bias. The shift left her uncertain. Tasks no longer flowed to her automatically. Expectations applied equally. Accountability leveled the room. One afternoon, she approached Carla near the break room. "I didn't know it was this bad," she said quietly. Carla met her gaze. "It wasn't about you. It was about imbalance. The team needed air." Mia nodded. She didn't argue. She didn't defend. She simply absorbed the truth and walked back to her desk. Weeks later, the senior director sent his final note. The case was closed. Oversight would remain for the next quarter. The company wouldn't make the findings public, but the team knew what had happened. They had lived through it. The office felt different now. Not perfect, not repaired, but possible. On a rainy Wednesday morning, Carla arrived early again. She sat at her desk, opened her notebook, and flipped through the pages she had filled over the past months. Evidence. Timestamps. Notes from moments that had weighed heavily on everyone. She closed the book. She didn't need it anymore. Devin passed her desk. "Feels lighter today," he said. "It does," she said. But underneath the relief sat another truth. Favoritism didn't always leave scars you could measure. Some took longer to fade. As the team settled into its new rhythm, Carla looked around the room. People were contributing again. Their voices carried weight. Their work distributed evenly. The story wasn't about the downfall of one team lead. It was about a system pushed until it finally listened. It was about people who refused to stay quiet when a pattern threatened to define their work and their worth. Final line, Carla watched the team move forward and knew the cost had been real, but so was the shift they had forced into the light.